Blog Talk Radio.
Gonna tell you a little bedtime tale, legend it will become. Burgers flying out the door, sail on. 2-for-1, no concern for the future. Living for today. Fast food bite on your way, lay it all to waste. The masses are afflicted now. Moo, mad cow, mad cow. Mad cow line dance song.
Hey, Sun Guy Nation, welcome to the show. Last Friday in the month of September for 2016. Some show notes if you're looking for wrestling in the next couple of days. Tonight, WCWO as usual at the Outlaw Arena in Indianapolis, Indiana. Also, a quick reminder, they have their Young Guns tournament coming up on Wednesday night at the Outlaw Arena. An unusual night for WCWO, so put it on your calendars. It should be a great tournament. Also tonight, All-Star Wrestling up in Chilliwack, British Columbia. VIPW in Nanaimo, British Columbia. AIWF in Franklin, Ohio. ARW in McDonald, Tennessee. SWF in Tullahoma, Tennessee. CWF in Catharines, Ontario. Acme Championship Wrestling in Hebron, Indiana. Tomorrow night, HPW at the HPW Arena in Columbus, Indiana. Lucha Pride in Marshall, Texas. MCW in Hollywood, Maryland. PHX in Mesa, Arizona. VIPW in Victoria, B.C. PAW in East Haven, Connecticut. IWX Memphis, Indiana. Strong Style Wrestling in South Bend, Indiana. ESW in North Tonawanda, New York. PCW in Winnipeg, Manitoba. PPW in Ionia, Michigan. BWF featuring Casey Carlisle, whom I love, in Farmville, Virginia. BZW in Easley, South Carolina. HPW in Beaumont, Texas. The NWA in Amarillo, Texas, and ECCW in Vancouver, BC tomorrow night. So lots going on, especially up in our neck of the woods in southwestern Canada. So get out there, support some local independents. And I would like to bring on to the show now, making his return, but his first solo appearance, we have one of the better referees you will ever see, west part of the country, Matt Mann. Welcome back to the program.
Thank you very much. What's up, Sun Guy?
Not doing too badly this afternoon, but since today is your first solo show, we're going to ask you our traditional first-timers question. You talked about it a little bit the last time we did a referee show, but can you tell us what led to you getting into the business of pro wrestling?
Well, you know, I've always liked pro wrestling, and I was looking for something local and didn't know that it had existed, and found UCW Zero here in Salt Lake City, and I started going to their shows. And I just really, 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 really loved what their product and what they were doing. And I really wanted to be a part of it. And so I pursued that. And unfortunately, I didn't start right off with UCW. Ended up with another company and have been reffing for 6 years now.
When you looked at the local scene in Salt Lake City when you were first getting started, were you familiar with independent wrestling as an entity, or was this your first foray into independent wrestling altogether?
I was not familiar with independent wrestling. I had heard about it, but as far as watching it on YouTube or whatever or anything like that, I was unfamiliar with it. And when I heard about it, I was just excited and wanted to be a part of it. So, and now I love it all. I watch it all, everything. So.
Well, to be a wrestling referee, you have to be in fairly good shape. You have to be able to do multiple matches. A lot of referees will find themselves as the only official on a given show refereeing every single match. What do you personally do in order to stay in conditioning so you're able to perform at a high level whenever you're needed to go to the ring?
Honestly, fine guy, you've seen me. I'm not in that great a shape. I mean, I do go to the gym every day so that at least I look decent. I stretch a little bit before the shows. Other than that, honestly, I just kind of just go with it.
I'm sure you've worked with a lot of referees that just did not have the knowledge or the information they needed when they got in there, and you watched them blow up and fail miserably as far as being able to keep up with the matches. What's some of the things you've seen on shows you've done where referees just got a quick lesson in the need for being able to be in somewhat good shape?
Well, you know, I don't know if I've seen the out of shape type things, but as far as referees not knowing what they're doing, I've seen it, and I don't want to mention any names, but it's hard to watch. But there are, I guess, some that are out of shape, and they just, you know, one of the things that bugs me the most is somebody that, like a referee, will go down to count, and he's on his knees rather than on, you know, sliding to his side. I don't know if that's an out-of-shape thing or if that's a lazy thing or what, but that's one of my pet peeves. I hate that. I've seen other refs just completely blind at stuff. You know, they don't see. And I know refs are blind anyway. I guess we got a bad rap for that. But, I mean, there's just some things that I mean, I'm not going to mention any names or promotions, but it's pretty sad sometimes.
Agreed, and I saw a referee once, not to name any names or promotions, but he didn't even make it to his knees. He just counted on the top turnbuckle without going down at all.
That might be a gimmick thing. I don't know.
I think it was a long way down for him. He wasn't sure he'd make it back up.
Was a big guy, I guess? Or just
he was
guy.
Fairly large and did not look like he wanted to leave his feet. Now, another thing that I know that you do that sometimes sets up a different set of problems for shows, a different sort of circumstances, is outdoor shows. I know you've done these. Do you find yourself having to change anything that you would do normally on an indoor show when you do outdoor shows?
I don't know if it's much of a change. I don't know. Maybe the crowd reaction and looking at the timekeepers and things. But I honestly don't know if I ref any different outside than in. I guess I probably do. But, I mean, I might be more open and more vocal outside and more animated, but I'm not real sure if there's a big difference.
Being vocal and animated, I think, can make a big difference. So I would say definitely a pretty good change.
Yeah.
And recently, I'll go ahead. Oh, QT, it looks like he dropped the call.
Oh, no. Maybe he was traveling from Pendleton to Utah.
Possibly. I'm sure he will call us right back.
Now, Sanjay, is Matt Mann originally from Utah? Was he born there? Is he a native Utahian?
Well, we'll find out when he calls back, and hopefully... there he is.
Okay.
All right. Do we have you back, Matt Mann?
Yes, we do. I don't know what happened once again. Anyway, sorry. What were we talking about? What's going on? What I missed?
Well, I was going to ask you that you have recently been on a few shows for the fledgling company out of Idaho, Wrestle Club. They are brand new. A lot of the wrestlers are brand new. What's it been like going to Idaho and refereeing and even ring announcing for this brand new company in a brand new territory?
You know, I love Idaho. It's a totally different experience. It's the crowd out in Idaho is just absolutely fantastic. I think it's just that they don't have wrestling out there, and it's just the reaction with the crowd and Anthony Garibay, the promoter of the Wrestle Club, is probably the best guy you'll ever meet. It's always a really, really good time. I love to ring announce. I'd rather do that than sometimes. I like the interaction and the power you feel with that microphone. And in Idaho, it's just a totally, totally different atmosphere. The crowd gets into it more than I think most crowds. They get a big crowd, and I believe it's because it's just fresh and new to them. The guys up there are some of the best guys you'll ever meet. I've known Anthony and a couple of the guys up there for actually quite a few years, as have you, I believe. I love Wrestle Club. It's just a totally unique and different experience. The ring is a little different than most. It's a little closer to the ground. I don't know if I like that too much, but it's all around just a really, really great time, and I love to go up there.
Like I was saying, a lot of these wrestlers that wrestle for Wrestle Club are brand new. The company has been in existence for right at 1 year. A lot of them have 1 year or less in the wrestling business. How do you as a referee help with the younger people in the ring? How do you help build them up to be better wrestlers as someone that's been around for several years now?
Well, you know, it's a lot of them, I think, actually look up to me, and they have asked, a couple of them have asked me for advice. So pretty much all I do is just, you know, hype them up and give them and I kind of just say, hey, you're doing this. I would like to see more of this, or you're doing too much of that, or you need to do this. So pretty much just pep talk for them, you know, and build their confidence up a bit. I think some of them may be a little shy, and some of them, honestly, a little overconfident. But I think just letting them know, you know, when they screw up and stuff, that it's okay and this happens. And I don't know. You just encouragement, I think, would be the word. Just encourage them to keep going and keep trying, because they have improved quite a bit since I've seen them 1 year ago.
Now, in addition to the wrestlers, of course, being inexperienced, a lot of their referees are very inexperienced. A lot of the referees that you'll see on a Wrestle Club show are doing some of their very first matches as a referee. What's been some of the advice that you have to give over the course of the year as they continue to hone their referees and make them good quality referees in professional wrestling?
I think that they just need to be more, I tell them they need to be more attentive. And the one thing, and this isn't just for referees, this is for anybody, training. They need to train. They need to study videos on referees because, you know, I love those guys, don't get me wrong, but they do need a little work as far as the refereeing goes. I just give them my advice and what I would do. And there's a few things that, wrestlers have taught me throughout the years, and I had to learn too. As for, you know, that sliding thing and, you know, the slower counts when they're outside and things like that. You know, I think that they just get too big in too big of a hurry and there's too much on their mind and things like that. So my thing would just be slow down, pay attention. And don't be nervous. I know that's hard because I'm nervous every single show. I think that's the only advice I would give them, is the one main thing is training. Not only does a wrestler have to train, but a referee has to train each and every week if possible. So that would be my advice to them.
Oh, it doesn't have to necessarily be young wrestlers and or referees. Even veterans sometimes have incidents on shows that lead to serious injury. Sometimes things look worse than they really are. Sometimes something that doesn't look so bad is actually a pretty catastrophic injury. What's been some of the scarier moments that you've had while you've been in the ring as a referee?
You know, honestly, as far as injuries go, I've seen very, very, very few. However, there is one, which, by the way, I feel guilty as hell about still to this day. And you know the guy, Irving, or Alex Knight in Idaho. He went up to second or top rope. And I don't remember exactly the move, but he ended up breaking his hip. And I had no idea he had done that. I mean, and then I go to do this count, and, you know, the dude kicks out, and he's just looking at me going, count, because he's hurt, you know. So anyway, that's pretty much the only injury I've ever personally seen. So I've been lucky in that way.
Absolutely. It tends to get a little bit scarier in there when guys can't say the opinion because they're not clean out.
One other thing I have seen, by the way, and I'm not going to mention any names, is I have seen people get knocked out, too. So I guess, a couple injuries. I just wanted to throw that in there because it popped into my head.
Yeah, always a bad day at the office when someone's unconscious when they're supposed to be wrestling.
I've also been injured a couple times myself, too. I've been hit with a chair and my neck swelled up for like a week. I don't understand it because I get hit in the head, but my neck swelled up. I've been knocked out by Chris Masters accidentally once, so I guess I've taken a couple myself.
Well, at this point, QT is standing by, and I know QT also has some questions, so I'm going to pass things over to him for a bit.
All righty. Thanks, man.
Well, thank you, Sangai. Hello, Mr. Mattman.
I am good. How are you, my friend?
Oh, I'm doing pretty good. Looking forward to the Stanford-Washington game this evening, two battles of two ranked top 10 football teams.
Sounds like fun. I'm a huge fan myself, so I don't know if I'll be watching it. But
well, you've got a pretty good Utah team in the Pac-12 out there in Utah. Yes,
we do. Hopefully they continue that. Unfortunately, a couple of the teams were not the best, but nonetheless, we're undefeated.
Yes, I believe as of this moment while we're talking, Utah is ranked, I believe, number 18 or 17.
Nice. I believe they were 24th last week.
Okay. All right. Well, Mr. Mattman, sometimes I get information on the wrestlers and referees and people involved in the wrestling industry through their Facebook pages, and I couldn't help but notice that in one of your pictures on Facebook, that you are in a photo that looks like it was taken in Las Vegas with the members of the rock group KISS. Now,
yes.
There have been – okay, well, now there have been tribute groups to various bands out there. And, in fact, several bands, including Journey, Yes, and Judas Priest, have found replacements for their team members by turning to tribute bands. Led Zeppelin has the tribute bands Zoso and Zeppelin. AC/DC has a tribute band Live Wire, and they are the only tribute act in the world to be featured on AC/DC's official website, as well as on their Facebook page. Van Halen has the Atomic Punks. Michael Anthony, the original bassist, has jammed on stage with the band on two different occasions, while David Lee Roth is so impressed by them that he's rated their lineup four guitarists in his solo band, not once, but twice. And Kiss themselves has a tribute band, Strutter. My question is, or was, before you clarified it, was, were these tribute band members you were pictured with or the real deal?
That actually was, honestly, I'm going to be honest here, I believe they were street performers. You've been to Vegas. It's just some guys on the street. In fact, they've been doing it for years. I see them all the time.
Wow. The guy that was doing Gene Simmons looked very real, even his hairstyle.
You should see the picture with me and Ozzy. Ha, ha, ha. There's another guy out there that says Ozzy Osbourne, and oh, my God, people will... As soon as I put that on Facebook, like, I didn't know you knew Ozzy. You know, some of them I'd go along with it. Oh, yeah, I know Ozzy. Him and I are good friends. But alas, it was just, now they know. It was just street performance.
Oh. Well, I think I've seen that guy, and he has his mannerisms down, too. Yes.
Because he sounded just like him, too. I was really, in fact, when I first saw him, I was like, there's no way Ozzy's walking Fremont Street. And... He's, you know, that guy, and apparently he makes decent money doing it too. So,
wow. Well, some people say I look like one of the Marx brothers, Harpo Marx myself, but I haven't made any money at it.
Well, you know what? If you ever need extra money, there you go. Stand out on Fremont Street, my friend.
Does Fremont Street run through the heart of Vegas? That was our next question.
Fremont Street's down in old downtown Vegas, so it's not the strip, but it's downtown with the big dome and the show, the Sky Show, whatever it is. That's what I always say, Fremont Street. I guess you need to quit, though, because it's so loud there.
Now, is Fremont Street where you could find ladies of quality like you can do in Burnside, Oregon, near Portland?
I think you have to go outside of Las Vegas to find that, honestly. I do believe that the ladies are still off limits, shall we say, in Las Vegas.
Oh, okay. All right.
Not that I would know or have ever tried anything like that.
Oh, okay. All right. So what you're saying is that there have been no incidences with Mr. Mattman like they did on the Married with Children, where Peggy ran up Al's credit card in Vegas, and to get some of his money back and recoup his losses, Al had to get into the ring with what he thought would be the women of GLOW Wrestling. Have there been any incidences with that with Mr. Mattman?
Not at this current time, but they do have I'm sure you are you familiar with Freak Show Wrestling in Las Vegas?
Yes.
That would be I think Mattman's if we wanted, I think that's where Mattman would encounter something like that. So hopefully one of these days. I've been asked, I believe, once or twice. I just have not as yet done Freak Show.
Okay. Now, while you were in Las Vegas, did you play the slot machines?
You know, honestly, in Las Vegas, I'm there more for a recreation type thing. I've been known to play the slot machines out there, but I think that they are a little tighter than most cities in Nevada, say, you know, Wells or Elko or Reno or Wendover or what have you. I just don't think I've won enough in Las Vegas off of a slot machine or any other game for that matter to waste a whole lot of money on it. Usually it's I'm there for a wrestling show or just recreation. So not a whole lot of gambling with Mattman in Las Vegas.
Oh, okay. All right. Have you ever partaken of any of the all-you-can-eat prime rib buffets in Vegas?
Well, I guess if you were to look at my guts, yes, I have partaken. And in fact, one of my goals in life is to hit as many buffets as I can. And there's plenty of them in Vegas, and I think I've sampled at least half of them.
Wow. Now, is it true, is there any truth to the rumors out of Shelton, Washington, that one of your dreams is to challenge King Kong Bundy to an all-you-can-eat prime rib contest? I've heard that out of Shelton, Washington.
That's probably true. I'll challenge anybody out there, not just King Kong Bundy, Rakishi or what have you. Anybody, bring them on. Let's do it. Prime rib challenge. It's open. Batman's put that out there. So anybody that wants to accept it, meet me in Vegas, and it's on.
This is huge. Mr. Batman just sent out the first Turnbuckle Turmoil all-you-can-eat prime rib challenge. This is very big. We may have to sponsor some of this. Yes. Very, very big. Okay. Well, Mr. Batman, I saw a YouTube video of yours entitled Darabai versus Sean Skelter 2, and it took place on a sunny day in Pendleton, Oregon. You were in a standard referee zebra-striped shirt, but on this day, or at least for this match, you were serving as announcer. The referee for this match was a man named Richie Hager. Had you worked on cards with Richie before?
I honestly don't believe I have. Mm-mm. Don't think so.
Wow, okay, all right. Now, I think that was the first time, at least since I've been looking at wrestling videos, that the announcer and the referee were in the same striped shirt. I'm not sure if Sangai has ever encountered this, where a ring announcer that he has worked with wore a striped shirt. I'll have to ask Sangai about this. Yes. Okay. Well, Mr. Batman, the ring you were working in had four pink ring posts and one of the lowest ground clearances that I have ever seen for an outdoor ring. My question is, did some of the proceeds for this wrestling card go to the Susan B. Komen Fund? Yes.
I believe that we are at, and I know that is one of them, 24, I believe, charitable organizations have profited from, well, I guess not profited, but we've helped 24 different organizations from Wrestle Club, and they are one of them, yes.
Oh, okay. All right. Any connection to your pink ring post that you were in that day and purposely painted for the Susan B. Komen Fund?
I think that the pink ring, I honestly don't know the history and why they are pink, but I am pretty sure, and correct me if I mean Anthony can probably clarify it, but he's not here. I do believe that is the reason that those ring posts are pink, was to support, the cancer fund. And I believe that's the original reason that they are pink, as well as the rope.
Oh, wow. Okay. All right. Very interesting. Okay.
The Wrestle Club, right, actually, in itself, is a nonprofit organization. So all proceeds, whatever Wrestle Club makes, every last cent goes to some charitable organization.
Oh, that's nice. Very good. Very good. Okay. Well, Mr. Batman, with the low ground clearance, escape under the ring from an enraged wrestler who did not agree with the decision would be extremely difficult. Are there any truth to the rumors out of Shelton, Washington, again, that you yourself lobbied to have the mat raised 6 inches during setup?
You know, that's not too bad, and I think I might have brought it up I just think that we just haven't figured it out yet. But I think it actually works, and it's unique in its own way. So, and I mean, it says Wrestle Club. So, I mean, it's just you see it, and it's Wrestle Club, you know. But there's no hiding underneath that ring. If you've got to run, you've got to run quick. And us referees may not be able to run so quick.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, how many times have you had to dive under the ring to escape a female wrestler in your refereeing lifetime?
Maybe once or twice. Not a whole lot.
Oh, okay, once or twice. Okay. Can you can you name the female wrestler that chased you under the ring? Do you remember?
Andrea the Giant, I believe, is one. I don't know about any. I can't think of any other names. I don't know if you know Andrea or not, but
yes. Both Sign Guy and myself have seen her in action. Oh,
she's
tough
awesome.
One.
In fact, Andrea, I believe, is probably one of my most favorite, if not my favorite person to work with in the ring. So we got to give Andrea props for that.
Well, you know, now there's maybe it'd be more realistic to try to set up an Andre the Giant versus Matt Man all-you-can-eat prime rib challenge instead of King Kong Bundy.
Well, we can do that, too.
Oh, okay. Now,
both
here's
in
a
the
standard.
Same day.
What's that?
I said both in the same day. Bring it on.
Oh, my gosh. What, being the same, that prompts the question. What steak sauce do you prefer, Heinz 57 or A1?
A1.
Oh, A1, okay. Okay, that's the raisin-based kind of paste, raisin-based paste sauce, the darker one. Okay, all right.
Love it.
Very good. Okay, very good. Here's a standard turnbuckle turmoil question. What's the hardest knife-edge chop you have ever received from a female wrestler?
From a female wrestler?
Yes.
Oh, you know what? I would have to say Sierra Rose from UCW here in Salt Lake City. She definitely will make you sing and leave a mark.
Ooh, okay. All right. She's never split your nipple, has she, like one wrestler stated?
I don't know if she has, but maybe another one has or close to it.
Okay, all right. Now, to your knowledge, was this the first time that Lasso Garibay and Sean Skelter had a match? Was that their debut match together?
I believe that. I honestly don't know if it's their first, but it very well could have been their first for Wrestle Club as Wrestle Club. But I do know they have worked out of state, and I'm not sure as far as them wrestling one another.
Oh, okay. All right. Now, the first thing you notice about Lasso Garibay as he makes his entrance on his way to the ring in that video is the massive back tattoo that he has. Pretty good artwork. It reminds me of the Black Flag singer's tattoo, Henry Rollins. Do you yourself have any identifying tattoos or artwork? Have you had ink done?
I have one tattoo, and it's not very extra. It is on my upper left arm, and it is a 49ers logo. And that's the only tattoo I have.
Wow, 49ers. Okay, don't they play the Seahawks this weekend?
They got their butts beat pretty good by them last weekend, actually.
Oh, yeah, you're right. I think they played the Jets. Okay, yes, I think the Jets.
It'll be a good change for them because 49ers need some real help. Hopefully the Jets, they can beat them. I hope. I don't know. we're in trouble. 49ers, I mean, are just
going up.
Going to be that great this year, unfortunately.
Well, Mr. Mattman, a few years ago, Sign Guy traveled to Indiana and had a run-in with some of the local firemen in the ring. The firemen decided to throw Sign Guy over the top rope, and unfortunately, he hit the concrete floor with his eye socket. Sign Guy made a video while he was in the hospital from his bed. You yourself have a picture on Facebook where you are laying in bed with a snow white pillow under your head. In fact, there's two white pillows. Recently, in our neck of the woods, Pa Moonshine, who hails from the hills of Appalachia, did a video while he was lying in his hospital bed. My question is, do you, Sign Guy, and Pa Moonshine plan to trade limited edition, low-numbered autographed photos or videos of your hospital stay?
What do you think, Sign Guy? We can make some money doing that.
I'd be willing.
We got charged like 10, 15 bucks for an autograph on it. Yeah?
Sounds fair.
Well, then there you go.
Oh, okay. All right. I'd look forward to maybe paying top dollar for these hospital autographed photos. Very nice. Okay. Very good. All right, well, Mr. Mattman, we recently had on a female wrestler named Miss Hana, and she was in a wrestling match with another female wrestler who had glasses on in the ring. Miss Hana slapped these glasses off her opponent's face, and the opponent had to go on all fours frantically searching for her glasses. Now, in the past, some famous athletes have worn prescription eyewear to their events, including tennis greats Arthur Ashe and Martina Navratilova. You had Los Angeles Lakers Kareem Abdul-Jabbar and Kurt Rambis wearing eyewear. Baseball's Reggie Jackson, who used to wear glasses on the baseball diamond. And track and field great Edwin Moses, who won 107 straight races in the 70s, 400-meter hurdles, wore eyeglasses. And you had Olympic ski jumper Eddie Edwards, who was nicknamed the Eagle, wear glasses when he was ski jumping. My question is, have you seen any YouTube clips of this cult figure, Eddie the Eagle, that finished last at the Olympics but soared to new heights while wearing prescription eyewear? That's my question.
I don't know if I have seen any of that. Honestly, to tell you the truth, I don't have an answer to that question. I'm familiar with it, but I myself have not watched or looked at that.
Wow, all right, okay. I'm just brought up that question because there's a slight resemblance between you and Eddie the Eagle. I'd like you to look Eddie the Eagle up on YouTube. Yes.
I'm going to have to do that. I've been known as, so you've seen me wear glasses in the ring pretty much.
Yes, and that's pretty much what kind of prompted the existential question. Yes.
I think that I need to quit doing that, though, because, you know, I've always wanted to do a spot, in fact, with the glasses, enter the ring with the glasses, and just as a comedy spot. I just, you know, when I get into the ring, I just go, hold on, I can still see, and then hand my glasses off just for a lap. That way the ref really is blind.
Huh. Oh, okay. Well, now, are you a big fan of Sign Guy's Sign of the Times?
Of course I am. I'm a big fan of Sign Guy, of most stuff Sign Guy, guys. I have a lot of respect and actually look up to Sign Guy, even though he's a little shorter than I. So, yeah.
Are you a big fan of gouge wrestler Seymour Snot that has a picture of eyeglasses in his photograph that he gave Sign Guy? Eyeglasses.
I may not be familiar with that person, actually.
Oh, well, I think you should get together with Sign Guy via Facebook, and he can hook you up with some of his Sign of the Times that has a picture of Seymour Snott and his eyeglasses. Yes, a very iconic figure.
There you
all
go,
right.
Sign Guy. There's something for us to do.
Yes. All right. Well, Mr. Mattman, we play a game here on Turnbuckle Turmoil called Bring on the Choice, Bring on the Funk. And our last person that we did this with was a wrestler named Rex Starling. I would like to give you the exact, how would you say, format or choices that I gave Rex Starling and compare his choices with yours.
Okay.
The way this game works is you are given a choice between two subject matters, and you have to make a rapid decision of which you would prefer between two subjects,
okay,
like red and blue, and you would pick either color in a rapid thing, in a rapid decision. Are you ready to play this game that we played with Rex Starling?
Let's do it.
Oh, okay. All right. Coke or Mountain Dew?
Coke.
Bam Bam Bigelow or Booker T?
Bam Bam.
Charmel or Miss Elizabeth?
Charmel.
Okay. Anterior cruciate ligament or meniscus tear?
I don't know which is a meniscus tear.
Oh, okay. All right. Front face lock or German suplex?
German suplex.
Kurt Angle or Robert Roode?
Third Angle.
Heart punch or eye gouge?
Eye gouge.
MSNBC or Fox News?
MSNBC.
Ping pong or air hockey?
Air hockey.
NFL or NBA?
NFL all the way.
Okay. George the Animal Steel or Ric Flair?
Ric Flair.
Woo! Okay. Deep fried Twinkie or deep fried Snickers?
Twinkie, deep fried Twinkie.
Okay. Hitler's bunker or Chairman Mao's treehouse?
Hitler's bunker.
Oh, okay. Hitler's bunker. Okay. Herman Munster or Uncle Fester?
Herman.
Okay. Monday Night Football or Saturday Night Live?
Monday Night Football.
Tommy Chong or Cheech Marlin?
Tommy Chong.
Oh, okay. Did you like him on the 70s show? That's my next question.
I don't know if he should have done the 70s show.
Oh. Okay. All right, Gene Wilder or Henry Winkler?
Gene Wilder.
Okay. Yeah. Now, you being kind of young, can we ask you who Henry Winkler was?
Henry Winkler is a Fonz.
Oh, okay. You passed that test. Very good. Very nice. Okay. American Dad or The Big Bang Theory?
American Dad. Ooh, that's a hard one. American Dad.
Oh, okay. Now, is it safe to say that the character you identify most with on The Big Bang Theory is Raj Guthrapali?
I don't identify with any of them. I don't really watch that show.
Oh, okay.
I'm unfamiliar with it. I apologize.
Oh, okay. No wonder why you chose American Dad. Okay.
Well, that's why I was like, oh, really? I don't like either of those shows. That was why I was like, what?
Oh, okay. Gorilla Monsoon or Bobby the Brain Heenan?
Bobby, all the way.
Okay. Magnum PI reruns on Nick at Night or the A-Team?
The A-Team.
Okay. Bald Eagle or Black Raven?
Bald Eagle.
Redneck backwards bar or Uptown Manhattan coffee bar?
Redneck backwards bar.
Oh, okay. All right. Commander Spock or Lieutenant Commander Data?
Spock.
Spock, okay. Army Master Sergeant or Navy Commander?
Army Master Sergeant.
All right, and the last one, Richard Nixon or Hillary Clinton?
Hillary Clinton.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, Matt, man, it's been very nice talking with you. I look forward to hopefully getting a triple photoed, autographed, low-numbered of you signed guy and Paw Moonshine. And hopefully you can look up some of Sign Guy's Sign of the Times with Gouge wrestler Seymour Snot and his sunglasses or prescription on his photo. And I turn it back over to Sign Guy right now. Yes.
Thank you very much. It was good to talk to you.
Good talking with you. Yes.
I had fun.
Thank you, CT.
Yes.
Matt, man, we talked about Idaho quite a bit, but you also have been in several states here in the western third of the country. Do you want to tell the fans some of the states that you have visited over the course of your career? I know there's numerous ones.
Oregon, Idaho, Wyoming, of course, Utah, Nevada, California. I hope I'm not missing anybody, but there you go.
Not a bad list at all. As far as styles of wrestling goes, I know every promotion has its own style, and the fan bases tend to prefer one style of wrestling or another. Is it hard for you as a referee to be able to go from one style of wrestling to another? Like, for instance, if you were to referee a lucha-style show and then go into a style of show that was more hardcore-based, is there an easy adjustment for you, or is it a little bit of a work?
I think that a hardcore-type match would be easier to work. As far as luchas go, you have to be more prepared and more on your feet and know more of your ring presence in the ring with those guys, because they, as you know, most luchas are very, very good and they are just all over the place. So I think ring presence is the difference in that situation.
Now, have you had the opportunity very often to do lucha-style shows that match after match after match, or the Lucha Libre rules, and the entire show is made up of that?
I have not done an entire show of that, and thank God I have not, because I'd be so tired. Usually the luchas are just, you know, here and there on a show. I don't think I've done an entire lucha show.
Now, one of the things that has become sort of an issue in professional wrestling the last few years is social media. The bigger companies are very mindful of what goes out on social media from the people they use. A lot of people have been fired from the major companies for older postings that have popped up over the years. What is your opinion on how social media relates to professional wrestling in the year 2016? And do you think that most of the people within the business understand how it relates?
I think that social media helps more than it does hurt. And I think it's well, as far as advertising goes, the social media, I mean, is out there where you can advertise for anybody. But as far as someone, you know, for an older picture of somebody popping up, that I think is completely, you know, on the whomever got mad at that, the promoter or whomever's mad at this single person or whatever the case may be. I guess it can be hurtful. There's a lot of people that abuse social media and don't know how to use it. for the most part, I think as far as advertising goes, I would say social media is good. As far as, I don't know, you know, we got things like Trash Bag Wrestlers out there, Trash Bag Wrestling and things like that, that are hurting the business. In a way, and I'm not saying, you know, it's a bad thing to be on Trash Bag, because, you know, publicity is publicity either way. And I know a few people that want to go out of their way to get on Trash Bag. So I think that it's actually evenly balanced, honestly. I don't know.
Now, another hot button issue within the world of wrestling in the last several months has been that of PEDs. There were several high-profile instances where wrestlers were suspended for using PEDs. Do you think that that's something that is a problem still in the world of professional wrestling, especially on the independent level, or do you think that this was just a few isolated cases that have popped up over the last few months?
I think it's just an isolated type thing. And once again, I think it just goes back on how a promoter perceives, and whomever it is that suspended that person. It's just an opinion of certain, just a small amount of people. It's just the image thing, I believe, more than anything.
Without naming names or anything like that, have you come across many people in your career that were open about using PEDs as they tried to gain momentum in independent wrestling?
I am familiar with a couple of them, and like I said, I don't. It just depends on how somebody else. See, I personally wouldn't, but I know that there are folks out there that do. And it's on purpose, you know, whatever it is that they, however, to want to attract attention to themselves, you know. I'm not saying don't do it, but, you know, it is what it is.
Now, of course, one major way that people in the independent wrestling circuit make their money back and try to put food on the table is merchandising. You being not an in-ring wrestler for the most part, but being a referee, ring announcer, manager, so forth, do you see a lot of merchandising potential for people like yourself to make that money back? Do you see a lot of people that do get interested in purchasing not only Mattman memorabilia, but memorabilia of other referees and managers and ring announcers out there that you see?
Like Uncle Jasper, for instance?
Yes, for instance, Uncle Jasper, who is new to the managing scene, I understand.
Yeah, Uncle Jasper is very new to that. I don't even know if he's around. I heard he was supposed to do something with us today. As far as merchandising goes, Mattman has, you know, been known to sell T-shirts and hats and promo picks and things of that nature. I don't know if that sells too well outside of Utah, but I do believe that, in fact, Jasper was asked last show by quite a few people for promo picks. So I believe we got something with Jasper as far as merchandising goes, and I believe Jasper can make some good money, hopefully, off of things like that. So hopefully we're going to get some T-shirts and things done for Uncle Jasper.
Now, are there any plans right now for Uncle Jasper to go into, say, the Pro Wrestling Tee store and open up something there? I know a lot of wrestlers have had quite a bit of success over the last couple of years using the tool at Pro Wrestling Tee store.
I think that we need to. Jasper needs is well. He's Jasper. I think that it's a very, very good possibility. I believe Jasper's is going to. Unfortunately, Jasper is a heel and wants to be a heel, However, I think that Jasper is going to be very over and will be able to sell that type of thing.
Well, sort of a broken Matt Hardy sort of thing.
Broken something. I thought he was going to join us today, but I guess we don't have a lot of time, but we will discuss Uncle Jasper, who is a creepy uncle. Everybody has that creepy, creepy uncle, you know, and I don't. Anyway, you need to experience Jasper for yourself. There's a few, I believe, a few bits and pieces of Jasper on YouTube. Jasper will be at UCW Zero on the 15th of October, managing Chris Rath and a mystery opponent against Team ADHD of UCW. And Jasper costs both members of ADHD. Cass cost so well his Ultra X Championship, and I believe Jasper also smacked Tom Chad in the face with his very own tag team belt. So Team ADHD has some unfinished business with Jasper, by the way, which is a cage show. So hopefully Jasper comes out okay, but we'll have to see what happens.
Well, Matt, man, we got a few minutes left in the show. I'm going to give that time to you. If there's anything you would like to say to the listeners, plug and promote anything and everything, merchandising, upcoming shows, social medias, your favorite Italian restaurant, anything it is you want to plug, floor is all yours.
All righty, let's see. Matt Mann will be in Idaho for Wrestle Club's one-year anniversary, and I believe that is October the 8th in Middleton, Idaho. And then, of course, Uncle Jasper will be at UCW October the 15th at Incarceration, which is UCW's biggest, baddest, every match in a cage show. And I'm trying to think of any other shows I've missed. I'm in Idaho for almost any show they have, and I think the October 30th is another appearance from Madman in Idaho. And as far as Jasper goes, Jasper's pretty much a Utah thing, and Jasper's pretty much wherever you want him to be. I encourage everybody that's out there listening to support independent wrestling. I don't know if I have any favorite restaurants or things like that. Obviously, we talked about the buffet. So anybody that's out there listening, that actually is still open. We can have an eat-off of a buffet or prime rib or what have you. Matt Mann can be found on all social media. You might have to search Matt J. Sandors or just Matt Mann on Instagram. I believe it's TheMattMann124. Facebook, Matt Mann can be found at Matt J. Sandors. Also, there's a Matt Mann page on Facebook, and that's Matt Mann Professional Wrestling Referee. Snapchat, I believe, is the MattMann124 as well. YouTube, MattMann can be found if you search Wrestling Alliance of the Rockies or UCW or even Wrestle Club. I think that's about all that's in my head right now.
Well, MattMann, it has been a pleasure having you back on your first show as a solo here. We look forward to having you back, and we look forward to potentially hearing from Uncle Jasper as well. Best of luck to you on all the future shows. Give my best to all the boys there in Idaho. Hopefully I will be back their way relatively soon, and we will talk to you later. Fans, get out there, support your local independent wrestling. Lots going on in the next few days, so find yourself a show. Get out there and support it. We will be back with you Sunday afternoon. Chris Hamrick will be on the show, so definitely listen for that, and we will talk to you Sunday.
Yes, very good.